Ah, yeah. Welcome in. Welcome in to the best 6 hours on radio anywhere in this galaxy. Welcome to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. What has happened the previous 11 weeks does not matter. What happens, what only that matters now, what happens tonight. Welcome to the Game Blitz. It's the first round of the high school playoffs. Big Kitty behind the glass for you tonight. And my man Elijah Campbell down the line. Elijah, this is what we've been waiting for, brother. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited. Not, I don't have to get into the scenario situation, which got me often tongue-tied and maybe some listeners confused, because everything's solidified. The brackets are out. The games are going to be played tonight. We have a lot of fun matchups. And, Joe, like, it's there's something about a do-or-die football game that gets your blood pumping. We had a couple of those with the late in season with winner goes to the playoffs. The team that didn't succeed ends their season, but more seasons will be ended tonight. More teams will be moving on, and we'll get to narrow down our picture starting tonight. It's a lot of fun. Who doesn't love playoff football?
Exactly. Now, we've got we've never done this before. We got coaches who are playing tonight going to join us in the show in just a minute. We got Eddie Cunningham, the head coach of Lincoln County, here in a few minutes. We have Trey Perry, the head coach at Mount Juliet. They play tonight. They're going to join us, one coach in one segment, one coach in the other. We're looking forward to that. Brian Coleman, the head coach at Summit, who won the state championship in 2020 and came in runner-up last year in 21. His Summit team did not make the playoffs. He's going to join us at 6:30. He has, Elijah, a unique perspective on a lot of teams that are in the playoffs, especially in 6A and 5A, and some we've never done. We haven't talked to a coach and gotten his view of what's happened. I'm excited about that.
See, when you pitched the idea to me earlier in the week, I was like, well, that's fantastic, because we see that happen all the time on TV with NFL teams, college teams, and broadcast. Even if their team's not in it, you know, these coaches provide fantastic insight. And honestly, the insight that he's going to provide might be the most valuable we get all night, because the region that they played in was not only the most competitive, but they're matched with another region in West Tennessee of a bunch of other teams that were incredibly competitive, whose four playoff spots were all decided on the last week of the season. That is the most unpredictable side of any bracket in any classification in these playoffs. So if there's any, you know, any group of schools that we could really use some good hardcore analysis on, it's those schools right there.
Right.
So that's the one I'm probably looking forward to the most tonight. I'm excited to talk to Coach Coleman, and definitely would love to hear who he thinks has some of the edge in some of these games.
I love it. All right, let's go to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, bringing the head coach of Lincoln County, Coach Eddie Cunningham. Coach, how are you? Thank you for doing this.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's Elijah Campbell and myself. I'll start off asking the first question. What's the message to the team this week? Because, you know, what happened the last 10 weeks doesn't matter. It matters what happens tonight. What have you been telling the guys?
Well, we've tried to tell them that our schedule has been really tough this year, and it's one of those situations where we feel like it's put us in a good spot for tonight. You know, for us, you know, we're trying to do something that, you know, there hasn't been a playoff win at Lincoln County since 2007, so we're trying to gear them up to try to compete and, you know, hopefully get us a win.
What was the what was kind of the mood of the team coming up this afternoon?
It's been really good. You know, they set a goal in the off season, you know, to make the playoffs, and Once we got to the playoffs, you know, they kind of set a new goal that they wanted to, you know, they wanted to not be satisfied with just getting here. They wanted to try to do something, you know, something extra. So they've been pumped and ready to go.
Talking to Coach Eddie Cunningham, the coach of the Lincoln County Falcons in the playoffs, not the the Fighting Stan Harrisons, as I like to refer to him all year long. But Coach, we appreciate you joining us. And you know, you mentioned your tough schedule, because it is daunting to say the least, and that it's prepared you guys for this season. But how has that level of competition kind of made your team better over the course of the year?
Well, we tried to tell our guys each week, you know, try to put a faceless opponent on, you know, and don't look at their record, don't look at who they are, don't look at, you know, their tradition or anything like that, and just go out and do your job. You know, we had some games where we came out and we did exactly that. You know, we had some others where, you know, we didn't show up as well. But I think they continued to fight each week. You know, we had a great practice week this week, so you know, hopefully it sets us up in a great spot.
And for those who aren't as familiar with your team, Coach, I mean, you had a couple of really close losses earlier in the season before finally breaking through against Spring Hill and then getting the playoff clinching win against Columbia on October 14th. Yeah. But for some that aren't as familiar with your team, how would you describe those to people?
They're hardworking, led by 21 seniors. You know, they have done everything we've asked this year. And you know, it's one of those situations where Lincoln County traditionally in the past was really, really well. They've kind of, you know, we've kind of fallen off here the last couple of years, and we're trying to right that ship, you know, as we go.
Coach Eddie Cunningham from Lincoln County joining us tonight. They take on Mount Juliet at the top of the hour. Coach, what about Mount Juliet do you need to control tonight in order to win this football game?
Well, hopefully we're going to control the ball. We're going to try to take off as much time as we can. We like to get behind our O-line, and we like to try to run the football with ground control. If we can do that, we feel, you know, pretty confident that we can be competitive and stay in the ball game. If we have trouble, you know, sustaining drives, it may be a long night, but, you know, hopefully we've geared up for the rest of the season and we're ready to roll.
I was looking at you played six teams you played, went to the playoffs out of the 10, so you guys seem to be battle-tested tonight. Coach, thank you for doing this. I know you got a game at the top of the hour. We appreciate your time. Thank you. Best of luck tonight, Coach.
Thank you so much. Go Falcons.
There we go. Eddie Cunningham, head coach in Lincoln County. And the next segment, we're going to bring him out. Juliet head coach Trey Perry to do that. But, Elijah, great point, though. The schedule Lincoln County had, my goodness. And I know, you know, they only won two, let's be honest. They won two games. But they won two games that mattered in the region. They're in the playoffs. And here you go.
Hey, they won the games they needed to win. That's the thing. That's a sign of at least a mature team. They knew what they had, you know, at hand. And that win against Columbia, they won pretty much wire to wire. I mean, that's a 25-8 win against a solid Columbia team, and that essentially ended Columbia's season. So, I mean, this Lincoln County team, the 2-8 record, yeah, it obviously isn't a shiny one that's on paper. But they've played – like what they're going to be facing in Mountain Juliet tonight is a really good football team, but they are not – They're accustomed to playing teams like Mount Juliet. I mean,
right.
You mentioned the amount of playoff teams they have. Some of those playoff teams are state title contenders. Like Giles County is a state title contender. Centennial is a team that can make a deep run in 6A. Nolensville, obviously in their region, undefeated state title contender. Lebanon in 6A, a team that can win a few games in that region. So and then, of course, the other team in their region, Page, also can right. run the table in 5A and win the whole thing too. Like they're not just, you know, playing teams that are barely in the playoffs. They played a lot of teams that have legitimate shots at winning their state title and their classification. So it's not going to be much different than a lot of things they haven't seen. And if you're a team that's an underdog like that, that has to give you a little bit of confidence that what you see tonight is going to be a lot of what you've seen all year. You just got to execute.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think it was Siegel. I might be incorrect, but I think it was Siegel. Only had two or three wins, this has been a couple years ago, and got in 6A and just wrecked people. I mean, I think they might have made it to the quarterfinals mm-hmm. and beat two really good teams to wow. get there and almost beat it, and they won two or three games. So I guess to be said, once you're in, you can get it done. All right, Elijah, let's take the break a little early because we'll bring in Mountain Juliet head coach Trey Perry in the next segment. Of course, they take on Lincoln County, mm-hmm. the game at the top of the hour. So we'll do that. Trey Perry, this is the Game Blitz. We're here till midnight tonight. We got a lot of fun for you right here on the 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back into the Game Blitz. There'll be some boys that grow into men tonight because it's high school football playoffs are happening round one across the entire state of Tennessee. We just talked to Lincoln County head coach Eddie Cunningham. It's bringing the head coach at Mount Juliet, friend of show, Coach Trey Perry. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I was going to try to do it from the field like they do on game day, but I'm getting too old and I can't hear, so I'm going back in the field.
let me ask you this, Coach. You look at Lincoln County, they're 2-8. Your team looks at Lincoln County 2-8. How do you explain to this team that this team is not a 2-8 team?
Put the film on. There were games this year. But number one, they scheduled great out-of-region opponents, so – you've got Rockville out of Murfreesboro that a couple weeks prior to that had beaten Riverdale, and they went to Lincoln County and escaped with a 3-point win. And our kids are more familiar with Columbia because that was how we exited our playoff deal last year. And obviously Lincoln County beat Columbia 25-8 to get to the playoffs. So I think this is a program that's on the rise. Coach Cunningham's doing a great job. Jason Dobbs is over there now as athletic director. He does a great job. And we, early in the week, we also kind of taught our kids a little bit about the tradition that's Lincoln County football, and it's a storied tradition. So I think that, you know, throughout that we've focused in on the 0-0 concept that we better focus in on, because if you're 0-1 now, you're out.
Right. That's my next question. I mean, do you have to tell the guys this is do or die, or do they know that?
I think they know it. I don't know if this is right, wrong, or indifferent, but did some math earlier today and talked about, I didn't even know this, honestly, until I did the math, but last week was my 200th game at Mount Druitt High School, 114th as head coach. And we've made the playoffs 16 out of 17 years here. But when you start adding up how many playoff games you've coached in, it's significantly less. And so I just really focus on, you know, you've earned a trip here. You've earned a number one seed in a home playoff game. I don't try to say, if you don't do the right things tonight, you're going to, you know, pack the locker up and go home. It's more about the positivity of, can we get back to the practice field on Monday? Because these guys enjoy practice. Believe it or not, this time of year, they want to get back to the practice field, and so use that as incentive.
Talking to Coach Trey Perry from Mount Juliet right now, his team in a first-round playoff game, kicking off here in a little less than 40 minutes, a little over 40 minutes against Lincoln County. And Coach, you mentioned, you know, showing your team that Lincoln County is not a 2-8 ball club just by putting on the film. When you're first watching them play, what are some things that I guess that kind of stood out that might be able to give you guys some trouble tonight?
They're not going to give the ball up easily. They don't you know, hurt themselves with a lot of negative yardage plays or penalties. You have to make those plays on defense to kind of put them behind the chains on drive starters, which has been the recipe for them in the games that they've been in. I mean, you look at some of the games that they've been in, like Nolensville, where at halftime it was a close football game. If I don't know, Lincoln County had the lead at one point. Page was a close football game. Some of these really good football teams, and that's kind of been the recipe for them. And then defensively, they do a good job of being multiple and varying up their fronts, which can mess with an offensive lineman as far as doing your rules correctly and those kind of things. So for us offensively, we need to win first downs to make, you know, make it easier on ourselves.
And Coach, last week, obviously, you guys had a very emotional game against Green Hill to win the region, to do it against a team that's a rival in the city. A lot went into that, and a lot, you know, was made of that game. How do you kind of corral the emotion of your team knowing that you have another playoff game against, like you said, a really good Lincoln County team a week later, and having to calm down the emotion and kind of be able to focus on the task at hand?
Well, we do a lot of work on Sunday afternoons after church. And so when we got in, the first thing we did as coaches before they got here was remove all stuff from last week and set up the playoff bracket and, you know, really try to hone in, again, like I was talking about earlier, hone in on the idea that we're 0-0. I think there's pros and cons to playing in a game like that in Week 11. The pro, obviously, is the atmosphere, because we had the playoff atmosphere last week, and, you know, you throw the rivalry in with that. But, you know, the con can be what you just said. I mean, how do you reset and refocus? The good news is I think you really lean on your senior class, and we've got a great one. I think they are focused on, you know, what's next. And then you also, like I talked about earlier, you remind them of how hard we work to get here, so we might as well make it count.
You know, Coach, July 11th, when it's all started, the camp and everything, and so last thing you want to do is to end it on November the 4th. Hey, I know you're busy. Thank you for doing this. We've never done a coach before their game tonight, Coach, so thank you and Coach Cunningham. We appreciate you, and we hope to talk to you later on tonight, Coach. Thank you.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, that's head coach at Mount Juliet, Trey Perry. And Elijah, I like the message. I mean, it's like he's treating those guys not like five-year-olds, but like men. Like, look, here's what we have to do. Go out and do it.
And I always love the coach message. Now, like, people call it coach speak, talking up an opponent. regardless of how good they actually are, right? But you look at Lincoln County's records, 2-8, but they played, like we mentioned in the last segment, a lot of really good teams and played them really close. And if you want to summarize the interview, for those who didn't hear it, Coach Perry basically just told his team, don't mess around because you will find out. Right. Like, this is a team that gave Nolensville everything they could handle. They gave Rockvale everything they could handle. They gave a lot of really good teams all they could handle. So the 2-8 is a little deceptive. You put on the film, you can see this team's a pretty good team. And having to have that turnaround after the emotion that went through them last week to be able to win the region in a rivalry game, all of that, to be able to turn that around and be able to focus on the task at hand is a lot harder than it sounds, especially for, 14 to 18 year olds playing football. It certainly was for me at that age, to be able to make that turnaround. So that's I like the message he has there. And this is going to be an interesting one. I still like Mount Juliet to win this game, but Lincoln County, I mean, you're playing with house money.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going to be able to empty the clip on the playbook tonight. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how that one ends up going down.
This was a problem that I had when I was in high school at the playoffs. We always looked ahead like, hey, we win tonight, we're going to play Gallatin next week, whatever. So if Mount Juliet wins tonight and Green Hill win, there's a collision card. Now, Green Hill's got to beat Page tonight, obviously. But, I mean, you got to tell these kids, like, hey, if we don't beat Lincoln County, we ain't playing anybody next week going down the line. So I just liked what he had to say to his team.
Yeah. Oh, 5A is so tough. During the interview, I'm referring back to the bracket and everything. They win tonight. They have to play the winner of Page and Green Hill. So you either have to play Green Hill again after the 7-point game to win the region last week, have to play them again, or you have to play Page, a team that's 8-2 and a team that went to the 5A state championship game last year and is every bit as good this year. So, and that's just the second round. I mean, 5A is absolutely loaded. Joe, I think I counted at least, 5, 6, 7 teams that I think have legitimate shots to win 5A this year. And if you're looking for a classification to hone in terms of paying attention to unpredictability, 5A might be your cup of tea, because this whole bracket is loaded with really good teams.
I'm not going to argue with that as well. Hey, let's dip down to 6A for a second, because coming up at 6:30, we'll talk to Summit head coach Brian Coleman, is going to join us to kind of give us this great perspective on some teams they played this year. But there's a game tonight. I hate it, because one of these teams is going to go home, and they probably shouldn't deserve it. But Riverdale at Lebanon tonight, to me, is the best game anywhere in the state of Tennessee. I know that sounds odd and sounds weird, but these are two teams that are really good. The record for Riverdale is 6-4, but they played Oakland. They played in that division down there. We talked, they lost so many seniors from last year. These are two of the hardest hitting football teams from coaches I've talked to in Middle Tennessee tonight. This is going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to the Riverdale-Lebanon game.
Yeah, and Riverdale's an interesting story, just because you mentioned all the seniors they lost, and they had to make a push at the end of the year. If they didn't win last week, they were not going to the playoffs. They were outside the playoff picture in week 11. Had to win, had to have some things go their way to get in, and which always, can signify a dangerous team. And if you look at Lebanon, too, Lebanon could easily have won their region. This would be a good test of mental fortitude for that Blue Devil team, because going into the year, I thought they were clearly the best team in that region. They had a 2-game losing streak in the slap middle of the season, and just one of those two games happened to be against Coffee County, and that was the game that decided the entire region. So that Lebanon team is really, really good, and this is a Riverdale team that they're playing tonight that has, A, nothing to lose, and not expected to be here because of how frequently they were outside the playoff picture, and they also have that one athlete who's the best on the field in Caleb Herring. And in high school football, sometimes that can make the difference, Joe. If two teams are that competitive and that close together, that can be the difference. He's a game record. We'll see him be playing for Tennessee Volunteers, who are the number one team in college football right now.
That's right.
That is to say. But he'll be playing for them next year. He's the number one recruit in the entire state. So they have, there is an advantage. And if you want to talk about teams pulling off an upset, quote unquote upset, you got to have a knockout punch. And Riverdale has a knockout punch. So that one is, in terms of competitiveness, might be the most competitive game that we have tonight.
I totally agree. Hey, shout out to Keith and Robin Gober. Listen to us at their lake house tonight. Tune into the Blitz. Thank you guys. That's right. Thank you for listening tonight to the game. I know. I'm looking at Lebanon. Lebanon lost two games by a total of 7 points. They're easily 10-0. Unfortunately, one of those was Coffee County, who we've discovered, Elijah, on the show with head coach Doug Green. That's one heck of a football team this year. So that's not an upset. That was a tough loss for Lebanon right there. But tonight, this game versus Riverdale, man, it's one of the games you look at and you want to go to that game and see it. And it's unfortunate. One of those teams, their season's going to end tonight.
And the atmosphere for that one has to be incredible, too. Obviously, Riverdale has a rich tradition. I think they're going to travel really well. But I've been to some games at Lebanon back in the day, and they've always had really great atmospheres. It's a town that gets behind the football team. Like, that's going to be a really, really fun game. The matchup is juicy just because of kind of what we mentioned earlier, how battle-tested both of these teams are. And you can look at Riverdale and look at their record, too, kind of like what we were talking about with Lincoln County, even though it's not what it has been in past years. Yeah. This team, like, obviously, at the beginning of the year, when you lose all those seniors, it's very significant. You're nowhere near the same team as you were the year before. But now, at this point, these players that are freshmen, sophomores, are now essentially sophomores and juniors, or juniors and seniors. You play this deep into the season, you are basically your next classification. So this team now has that experience, and they've had the talent all year long. It's all been about getting it all together. So this one's going to be a lot of fun. 6A is just absolutely loaded too, from that part of the bracket all the way down to the bottom. There's going to be some teams like that. The Region 7 and 8 pairing, Joe, has produced some really good ones. You look at the records for all those teams in that playoff stretch. There are no bad ones at the tail end of the bracket. So there's a lot to look forward to tonight, but I definitely like the honing in on Riverdale and Lebanon.
Yeah, you know, Riverdale lost middle of the season 3 of 4 games. Oakland beat them pretty bad, and they had to go to travel to East Nashville. And I think that's when we, like, all right, Riverdale, because East Nashville's a great football team, and Riverdale handled them easy that night. And that was like, all right, Riverdale, they're not going anywhere. And they beat Stewart's Creek to get in, and now here they are in the playoffs tonight. So, again, that's a game I wish I could go to tonight. But it's because just of the tradition and what you just explained to us about both programs and how they got there. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight.
No, it absolutely is. And there's a lot of other really good games tonight, too, that I would have loved to have gone to. And honestly, and if you wanted to talk about, like, the most talent, I know it's a West Tennessee team. We haven't really covered them. But obviously, Germantown's loaded, and they're a 4 seed because of the region they played in. Of course, Region 7's 4 seed is Centennial, who's also 8-2.
Yeah.
So you have two regions who have 4 seeds at 8-2 that are really good, absolutely loaded with talent. Germantown's playing at Ravenwood tonight. Like, that one has a feel that could go an overtime or two, you know, and Collierville, Brentwood, same way, Houston Independence, Centennial, Bartlett, the 8 teams that are all matched up together that you might have like 5 or 6 overtimes combined between all of those games. I like those a lot. And a sleepy one, or a sneaky one, that definitely has kind of flown under my radar until I'm looking at it today: Clarksville and Nashville Overton.
Yeah.
For John Overton. That one, John Overton's a team that has been dominant defensively all season long. Clarksville, after falling to McGavick the first game of the year, seemingly couldn't lose for a while. Like, they have a really solid offense, and they're a fun offense to watch. That, like, the Clarksville offense and John Overton defense is a really fun matchup for tonight. And that one can go either way. That one is another one of those. It's as even as it gets. Two teams that have had highlights and lowlights of the season, and it all comes down to tonight. That one's going to be a fun one, too, that probably hasn't been discussed as much.
I totally agree. All right, we'll take another break. On the other side, Summit head football coach Brian Coleman, who played Ravenwood and Beach and Centennial and Blackman and Brentwood and Henry County and all these schools, has this great perspective tonight. We'll get the coaches' look at these games tonight when we come back next year on the Game Blitz. This is the Game Blitz, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, everybody jump!
All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106 through the game. A few scores for you. Some of the Middle Tennessee teams playing over in east part of the state right now. Good Pasture leads Chattanooga. Well, I just wrote it down. I can't read my own writing. Good Pasture's over.
Benny Christian?
Yeah, there you go. 7-0. DeKalb County over East Hamilton, 7-0. And Macon County tied at 7 against Red Bank. All right, let's go back to the Elijah Campbell phone lines. We're bringing in the Summit head football coach Brian Coleman, who had the unique perspective of playing just all these teams during the playoffs this year. Coach, thank you for your time. I appreciate you. How are you?
Hi. Hey, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. All right, let's start off tonight with the teams you played tonight. Tell me about when your team took on Ravenwood. They obviously win the region tonight, but my goodness, the rewards, they play this Germantown team that's really good tonight. Tell me what Ravenwood does so well, Coach.
Yeah, we're here tonight, so they're definitely a different team now that Chris Parsons got hurt, but they're still a big – they have a huge offensive line. They've got really good linebackers on defense. And right now, I mean, people are trying to figure them out because they don't know what Coach Hester's going to do offensively. I mean, he's got an athletic quarterback again, got a really good running back. So people are really still don't know how to figure him out.
With the game, you guys play that game. Obviously, they beat you guys 35-7, but you lost 87 players, whatever, from last year. So it was a rebuilding year for you like that when you do that. What was the difficulty with Ravenwood? You see the big offensive line. Anything else that stood out to you as well that Germantown needs to be wary of tonight?
That offensive line is good. I think they can lean on people. I think they leaned a little bit on Indy last week to win the region. I think the running back had a lot of yards. He had, I would say, about 200 yards rushing. So a lot of play action pass. When they do pass, it's a totally different scheme than what had at Parsons. Parsons, it was pass first because he was an athlete and could scramble. Now they're more of a run-oriented offense, and Germantown's going to have to hold up to that. And it's just weird because Memphis is so far away and we don't play common opponents. So Right. Even last year to this year and even our region playing over there, you just don't know. You don't know how good they are. You really don't know what to expect. So it's going to be a lot shaking out tonight to see how these regions match up.
A week before that, Coach, you had the great pleasure of taking on the Beach Buccaneers, and you played them really good that night. What stands out about Beach? Because every time I see Beach play, Coach, they just push other teams down the field and just run that football. Is that what you got that night from them?
Physical football team. Coach Crabtree's teams are always physical. They had a really good wide receiver last year. I think Simon Vanderbilt, but when things go bad, Crabtree is going to get in that smokestack eye, which is three backs in a row right behind the quarterback, and he's going to try to pound you. And if he can do that, it's going to be a long night for your defense. But his teams are always physical. They're always going to grind you down. They were out physical Brentwood a few weeks ago, which I thought was surprising. So he's going to play really well right now. Got a really good running back, number 7, runs downhill, hits the holes really, really hard. And some big old tight ends that play defensive end also. So he's got the size that he loves, and if he gets leaning on you, he's going to have big trouble throughout the playoffs. I saw some people pick him to go all the way to the championship, and I think he can if he stays healthy.
That's a great insight. Talking to 7 head football coach Brian Coleman. Now, Coach, my esteemed co-host Elijah has a favorite football team. He's going to ask you the question right now. It's a team that you played in game one. That Elijah, take it away.
Yeah, Coach, I like to get cute, you know, on these radio shows. And at the very beginning of the season, I try to get cute and call my shot. And I said Henry County is going to win the 5A state championship. You guys played them on August 19th, which feels like forever ago at this point, but also just like yesterday at the same time. I don't know how that is, but it is. But you played them first game of the season. What is your kind of evaluation of them, and how far do you think they can go on that 5A side?
Well, you know, Coach Counts and Coach Crabtree are roommates at MTSU, played football together. So they coach about exactly the same. So, I mean, there are a lot of – Henry Counts has a lot of power. He loves the power, and he's got that huge left tackle signing with Arkansas. I think his last name is Brown. He is a stud. He's bad. Mm-hmm. And a good running back that runs downhill. They've got a really, really good defensive end, and they've got a quarterback that can RPO you or play action passing, and he's pretty good scrambling too, so they got a really good quarterback. So and they beat Springfield in overtime, I think, on a little trick play. I mean, if you're gonna beat Springfield, you're gonna be a good football team. Now 5A, you got Page, you got Nolansville looking really good right now. So I think it's gonna be between Henry County and Nolansville. I think that's gonna be the two the matchup that's probably gonna be a semifinal matchup that everybody needs to watch.
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better about my assessment. But, hey, Coach, going back to your region and Region 8 in 6A, obviously you can't watch a lot of West Tennessee football or be able to keep up with it because you don't have, like you mentioned, a lot of common opponents or anything like that. But out of the 8 teams in these two regions that made the playoffs, 5 of them are 8-2. five of them. I have never seen a two-region pairing that produced 5-8-2 football teams to represent them in the playoffs. So what does that say, one, about the region, and then two, about a team like Centennial, who is 8-2, but they're the four seed having to play a region champion.
That's true. And at the end of Friday night, they could have been the one seed if they would have beaten Brentwood. Mm-hmm. I mean, our region shook out funny this year. I mean, that last week of the season, any one of them could have been one, any one of them could have been four, you know, according to who beat who. But that Memphis region, man, all of them are 8-2, I believe. Bartlett looks like the front runner. But, I mean, I think Germantown ended up beating Bartlett early in the year. So, I think they just beat up on each other. But Bartlett was the favorite, and they look really good. I may have snuck in some film on them last week just to look at, so I could have a conversation with Coach Hester about this region. So I've watched Germantown a lot. They ran through their schedule too. So, I mean, being 8-2, all four of them. Houston County, that's who we played last year in the first round, and they were tough on us. I mean, that was one of our hardest games in the first four rounds, was playing them, and I don't think they lost much, and added some big, tall wide receivers also. So that Houston club is trouble. Collierville, man, they're good too. They're a spread offense, going to try to, you know, throw the ball around everywhere. So it's going to be, like I told Joe, it's going to be fun this week tonight, I guess, to see how the two regions match up together.
We're talking to Summit head football coach Brian Coleman tonight. They won the state championship in 2020, runner-up last year in 2021. Coach, when you won the state championship in 2020 in 5A, we talked to Trey Perry earlier at Mount Juliet about, you know, these games. If you don't win tonight, your season's over with. Do you have to make that known to your players, or do they already know that?
They already know it, Joe. Man, they know what's at stake. I mean, you might mention it if you feel like that they – need if they're in a lull or something, maybe at halftime or something like that. But like I think our Coach Perry say, I don't think you need to dwell on it too much. I mean, these kids, I mean, they know what's at stake. They don't want to go home. So I mean, mention it maybe if you feel like they're not playing really well, but just to kind of get their heads right. But just don't dwell on it at all. They know what's at stake, and that was the good thing about ours. Our seniors, they had been there for, that would be their third year. They'd been in the state championship game, so they especially knew what was at stake.
Exactly. Oh, before we go, I got to talk about your football team. You won your last two. You played Independence tough. You only lost by one possession. Future looks good for you guys?
Yes, Joe. I mean, we're excited about it. Beat a really good Franklin team that last game. Probably one of the best 0-10 teams in the state of Tennessee. Coach Melton got them boys playing hard, even beyond their record. So, felt good about it. Felt good about the shovel game, and then beat Franklin to end out the year. Got a lot of sophomores, so got a lot to build on. We'll miss our seniors, but excited about the future.
Beautiful. Talked to Coach Wells early today. I told him you were coming on. He said to tell you hi, and that he'll talk to you soon, Coach.
He's a good man. All right, Joe. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you. It's Coach Brian Coleman at Summit with that great perspective of all, everything that goes on. You know, it's funny, Elijah. We talk about, in that region, a lot about Independence and Centennial and Ravenwood. We really don't talk that much about Brentwood, and we should, and that's our fault because that's a damn good football program.
Early in the season, we mentioned a couple of the games that, you know, really stood out to us because defensively they were as good as it gets. And we forget Blackman only has two losses this year, one to Oakland, the obvious one. And then in week one, they lost to the Brentwood High School team because Brentwood held them to 14 points last week. When we had Coach Tigard on from Blackman, you know, we went through all the cartoonish stats that the offense has compiled throughout the year. And that Brentwood team held them to 14 points and then turned around the next week and lost a really close game to Father Ryan, but lost 10-7. That defense is no joke. Shut out Summit the week afterward. They beat Henry County and held Henry County to 12 points. You heard Coach Coleman talk about how good Henry County is. They held them to 12 points. I think the most that they gave up this year was 23 to Independence. And that was a hard fought 1-point game, but they had multiple shutouts on the year against Summit and Franklin. No, they gave up 27 and a loss to Beach. We're splitting hairs here, but like this defense is one of the best in the state. Like it's one of those old, you know, grinded out football teams that it might not be incredibly sexy, but they get it done. I mean, they held Centennial to 9 points last week. They won a game 15-9 to secure a home playoff game. That is some grinded out, like Big Ten-esque football, like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But the old school enthusiasts love it. If you're an old school football enthusiast, this Brentwood High School team is your team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, the games, some games have started on the Eastern time zone. We'll get into those. But there are a lot of good football being played in 4-3, 2-1A. And Elijah and I will look at some of the big games happening tonight in Middle Tennessee tonight that we need to keep an eye on. We'll have that and more for you coming up next. You're listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz of 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. Elijah Campbell with me, Big Kenny behind the glass, and I'm making it all happen. All right, so we spent a lot of time this year on the 5A, 6A, and Division II and III schools, but we've also spent a lot of time we have on the show on 3A high school football in the state of Tennessee, because I'll tell you, my friends, it's simply fantastic. And Elijah, we've spent a lot of time this year talking about East Nashville, Fairview, Waverly, Smith County, because those are the teams in our area. But you go across the state in 3A, and it's fantastic. Let's bring it back close home tonight. East Nashville takes on White House. White House, great program. But East Nashville, they got to be smarting after such a tough loss last week in Smith County. I think they're going to roll tonight.
Yeah, it certainly has that feeling, right? And they've lost two straight games. This is a team that won, that reeled off 8 wins to start the year, and 8 wins against really, really good competition, right? So the fact that they've struggled the last couple of weeks has been a little surprising. And they've kind of, you know, backed into the playoffs instead of charging into it. White House won't be an easy game, though. White House, we saw give Waverly everything they can handle when they played on MyTV 30 for about three quarters. White House looked like the better team, and Waverly came back, pulled away, and showed why they're the region champs on that side of the bracket. But that's gonna be a lot of fun. I like how you mentioned too, Joe, personally, because I've kept it with 3A for a long, long time, being from the Upper Cumberland. 3A's changed a lot, obviously, in the 27 years I've been on this planet. But 3A, the one thing that hasn't changed is that Alcoa is the team that owns the state in that classification, right? Like, if most good teams have the rite of passage to get to lose to Alcoa before they get to go to their state championship. But it doesn't feel that way necessarily. Now, obviously, Alcoa is 9-1. The Fighting Randall Cobbs are still really, really good, and they're still probably the favorite to win. But I think there are more challengers this year in 3A than there have been in a long, long, long time. And I think if you want to look at two of them, obviously East Nashville's one, and then Waverly / Fairview from the other region are every bit as good. Those two teams are incredibly equal, Fairview and Waverly. We saw it play out last week, but those are three teams that I know can absolutely beat Alcoa and Smith County. The way they play, they can beat anybody. They get you in the mud, and they play you to a lot of really close games, and they will scratch and claw, and they're probably the grittiest team on this side of the bracket. So for the first time in a long time, I feel like 3A is a lot more open than it has been historically.
It is. And I look, you know, Fairview lost last week to Waverly in that great game, and Waverly wins the region. Fairview gets bumped to the bracket above. So Fairview, I know Smith County is a great football team and they won, but you look at round two, you know, if Waverly wins tonight, East Nashville tonight, they play next week. So Waverly, East Nashville, I think Fairview can beat a Smith County team. So Fairview could bounce that way to the quarterfinals. But my goodness, Elijah, if East Nashville wins tonight and Waverly wins tonight, that is a huge, fantastic football game in round two. And I know I'm being presumptuous and looking ahead, and that's fine, but still.
That's our job,
yeah, right,
to be presumptuous and look ahead. We can do that. We have the luxury of being able to.
Yeah, and that game will be down in Waverly because they're the number one seed that they're going to go down there if East Nashville wins. I mean, you're looking at another exciting game, and it's a week out from right now, but I just think there's a lot of great collision course games in round two.
There is. And you know what? I'm so mad at myself because I forgot about Giles County completely. I mean, our friend Wade Neely's come on all season long and sung the praises of this Giles County Bobcat team. And they should. Like, they're really, really good. This is a team that 7-3 is geared to win too. And if you look at their side of the playoff bracket, they play Brainerd tonight. I expect them to win that game pretty handily. And then they play the winner of Loudoun and Cannon County in the second round. And those are two teams I feel very confident. Like, they can have a road to where they eventually will play a rematch against Sequatchie County, a team that they had to compete for in the region. They won pretty handily. Or they could end up playing against, I believe, they wouldn't face Alcoa until the semifinals. That's a potential semifinal matchup between Alcoa and Giles County. I think Giles County can give them a really good game too, but mostly because I love every matchup that's possible from now until then. Like, right, that's another team too that I just completely forgot about, and they're kind of they have that advantage of playing against another region that isn't as competitive maybe as the one that they played in. And you're going to see a lot of that here in the playoffs. So another team that I forgot to mention, need to mention in 3A, and that's definitely Giles County.
No doubt. And if bump up to 4A, I mean, it's scattered. We got teams playing in West Tennessee. We got teams playing in Middle Tennessee. We got teams playing in east part of Tennessee that's going on right now. You look at the great season Upperman mm-hmm. had, great season Macon County had, great season Stone Memorial had, Pearl Cone, Creekwood, Marshall County, Greenbrier. I mean, there's a lot of great teams in 4A. And, you know, people get fixated on the 6A football, and I understand it, and, you know, the NBAs and the Brentwood mm-hmm. Academies. But, my goodness, you go down to 4A now, and there's some great – Pearl Cone as well, football being played. There are some great matchups in round one tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you want to look at, you know, the overview of 4A, there are still three teams that are undefeated that are still in the prestigious Elijah Campbell Undefeated Club that is dwindling down to the point where I believe only have 15 teams left that have yet to suffer a loss in TSSAA football this season, and three of them reside in 4A. There's a lot of teams here that are very competitive that could win the whole thing. And you mentioned tonight too that DeKalb County was up on East Hamilton. East Hamilton was the winner of their region. DeKalb County finished in fourth, and there's a really good chance that they beat East Hamilton tonight. There's also a really good chance that all four of the Region 4 teams beat all four of the Region 3 teams, especially depending on what happens with Macon County and Red Bank. That one sounds like it's already really competitive.
Yeah, update. As you were talking, East Hamilton scored, and they lead DeKalb County now 14-7. That's in the second quarter. And good pass.
Two straight touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. Look at you, man. They're listening to you talk right now, and they're saying, we got to win this for Elijah. And good pasture now is tied at 7-7 at halftime versus Chattanooga Christian, they're playing right now. So, yeah, you look, but, you know, that's what I love. Up and down the slate tonight, 1-8-5. And typically, Elijah, we've noticed is the number one seed has no problem. A 4 upsetting a 1 is very, very, very rare. But a 3 knocking mm-hmm. off 2 is almost 50% guaranteed.
The coin flip. It's almost like the 8-9 in the NCAA basketball tournament. It's every year, you know, if you're filling out a bracket, that's the one where you can – I don't know, flip a coin, let your three-year-old daughter pick. Because you have the same chance either way, right? A lot of these 2-3 matchups are like that. And especially you go through certain brackets, like the one we talked about in 6A. Those 2-3 matchups, like where you're going to play an 8-2 team versus one of those really good national teams like Ravenwood or Centennial, Brentwood. There's a lot of those really good matchups, and the matchup that we kind of honed in on tonight, one of them, the Riverdale and Lebanon game, a 2-3 matchup, the right. game that we have our man Junie out at over at Page for that game. That's a 2-3 game. That's going to be a really fantastic game tonight between Page and Green Hill. That's a 50-50 one to me. I think you could flip a coin there, and you're going to get as good of analysis as I can tell you right now in terms of leading you one way or another.
Red Bank has just scored on our friends at Macon County, lead 14-7. That game is nearing halftime already. Crazy.
Ooh. See, now that one, Macon County has had a fantastic year. And I love Region 4 4A, and that's been one of my favorite regions all year long over in the Upper Cumberland, obviously for sentimental reasons, but also because that one was a wild one where almost all four slots were decided in week 11, which is the regions you like to keep up with, right? I think all those teams are so much more battle-tested than Region 3. I know East Hamilton just now took the lead over DeKalb County, but the way DeKalb County can score at times, even with a backup quarterback, they're not never out of it. And same thing, Red Bank is one of those teams that they're undefeated for the first 7-8 games of the year, and then they've kind of backed into the playoffs with a few losses, especially one that cost them their region as well. They're not playing their best football at the right time, so that one kind of felt like upset-ish to me, was as much as an 8-2 team can upset an 8-2 team, right? But right. Macon County could go to Chattanooga and beat Red Bank. So that's one to definitely monitor. We're going to have a lot of games that are ending while others are going to halftime. If you want to look at some games that are having an early witching hour, those two between Macon County and Red Bank and East Hamilton and DeKalb are certainly ones to highlight.
All right, I'm going to go before we get to the break at the top of the hour. We're going to do call your shot. What game you think? Just, you know, it's kind of like the stupid underdog picks the guys do during midday. tonight, I'm going to throw one out there tonight, an upset, and I'll probably, you know, might not be called out for this, but I don't care. For some odd reason, I think Father Ryan upsets MUS tonight in round one. That game is playing over Ramples. Just because Ryan has scored so many points this year in games, their defense has let him down. For some reason, I think Ryan upsets MUS tonight.
Wow. Oh, okay. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, especially considering Father Ryan might be the greatest 2-8 team in the history of Tennessee high school football.
Right.
Man, there's a lot of tough ones, too. An underrated matchup. I mean, hard to call a 3-seed versus a 4-seed in those private school divisions upsets, but CPA's hosting Boyd Buchanan tonight. Boyd Buchanan coached by arguably the greatest Tennessee high school football coach of all time and Gary Rankin, former Alcoa legend.
Yeah.
Joined forces, took his talents to Chattanooga and joined Boyd Buchanan. They're playing at CPA tonight. CPA's 5-5, but that's a very good 5-5 team, a 5-5 team that, mind you, beat Oakland. Boyd Buchanan 7-3, but Boyd Buchanan did play in a very loaded East region that involves the likes of Knoxville Webb and Chattanooga Christian. Those two teams almost went to overtime last week to decide that region championship. So that one, I can see CPA, even though it's technically not an upset by ranking,
right?
It is by record. But one that's going on right now, if Good Pasture holds on against Chattanooga Christian, that is a significant upset because Good Pasture's taken their beatings in some games this year. And Chattanooga Christian, it was 1 point away from beating undefeated Knox Webb and being the number one seed and being that region champion. So that would be a significant upset.
Did you call your shot? What you got for me?
Good Pasture seals the deal.
Okay.
They shocked Chattanooga Christian tonight.
It's 7-7 at halftime, so you may be correct with that. All right, Elijah, good job. I love putting you on the spot. That's one of my favorite things to do. All right, thanks, brother. All right, we got 5 more hours of high school football. The games in Middle Tennessee will be kicking off here in about 1 to 2 minutes. We have all the scores for you tonight. Taking you to midnight, myself, Elijah, and Big Kenny behind the glass. You are listening to The Game Blitz, brought to you by good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.